Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Ben Arthur from Fox Sports, who covers the AFC South and the National Football League. Ben, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing well. Good to be on, guys. It's been a minute.
Yeah, really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Football season right around the corner. So, Ben, let's just start with the Titans. Your impressions of Brian Callahan to this point, and how much better, specifically on offense, do you expect this team to be this season compared to last?
Yeah, I think from what we've seen to this point, Callahan definitely has more of a laid-back persona, if that kind of makes sense. He's definitely – not that Mike Vrabel wasn't like a player's coach. I think it showed up in a different way. Like I can just think of Will Levis in the offseason program talking about how in Brian Callahan, he had more of a friend in a coach than he's ever had to this point. And I think we kind of see that across the board. He has a much maybe more mellow demeanor, goes about connecting with players in a different manner. And then I think just this offense to this point, I mean, I've been covering the Titans since 2018. 2021. And the amount they throw in practice is just so much more than under Vrabel, right? Like this is a pass first offense, a very receiver friendly offense in particular. And just the amount they're throwing the ball, the pass catching drills, the amount of pass catching drills the running backs are doing, I think this is going to be a really fun, creative offense to watch. Brian Callahan kind of likes to move his guys around, the running backs, tight ends, receivers. So I think it's going to be a really fun offense to watch from an aesthetic standpoint, not we've seen in Nashville in previous years.
Of course, I feel, Ben, like, you know, there's still, if there's one concern, I don't know what the defense, there's a lot of questions on the defense. I think it could be good, mm-hmm. You know, we'll have to see. But the offensive line is still somewhat of a concern. Obviously, they address it with J.C. Latham. Peter Skoronski should be better. They sign Lloyd Cushenberry. They bring in Bill Callahan. But Nicholas Petitfrere hasn't been out there yet. And, I mean, you don't want to overreact to pre-pads stuff. But it does seem like there's some protection issues already with these guys, and they haven't even seen Harold Landry yet. How big of a concern do you think that offensive line is again and for the Titans?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned about the right side of the line. And J.C. Latham, as great as I think he's going to be, I mean, I think you can expect a rookie left tackle, especially a guy who is playing right tackle for his career in college to struggle a little bit, at least in the early going. So it's not like I don't think we can expect him to be like Pro Bowl, all pro caliber right out the jump. So there's going to be an adjustment period for him. So in terms of improvement, I think this O-line is going to show. I think we're going to see a lot of that just from what we've seen the previous 2 years. I mean, you couldn't get much better than that, but there's going to be an adjustment period. Specifically, I think with that right side, because I think in time that left side is going to be pretty solid. I think, as you mentioned, Skoronski is going to be better. Lloyd Cushenberry is one of the better centers in the NFL. And I think J.C. Latham is going to figure it out, but that right side of the line, I'm really concerned about. And the fact that Nicholas Petitfrere, as you said, hasn't been out there, those spots on the right side of the line, right guard, right tackle, are both very much in open competition mode at this point. So I would say I am concerned about that. But again, I think this is still with all that said, just knowing that you have Bill Callahan in the picture, the overall talent and depth, I think that the group as a whole is better. So I think this is going to be a better offensive line for sure. I just think right now it's really hard to project kind of where they're going to be at, obviously being pre-pads, but also that right side of the line really needing to sort itself out at this point.
Ben, how do you view Jacksonville? Obviously, last year was supposed to be their year, and they started off really well, and then Trevor Lawrence got hurt and just fell apart on them in the second half of the season. They've lost Calvin Ridley. Trevor Lawrence gets the big deal. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr. How good do you think Jacksonville will be this year? How do you view sort of the team that Jacksonville is now left with in the aftermath of a disappointing season last year?
Yeah, I think they're still going to be really, really competitive. I think this might actually be the best team that the Jaguars have had around Trevor Lawrence. I know they lost Calvin Ridley, but Brian Thomas Jr. is someone I'm really high on. They added Gabe Davis in free agency. If you look at kind of like the advanced numbers, Trevor Lawrence is actually one of the top like deep ball throwers in the NFL, and having two guys who could really go get it in Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis, I think that's going to do wonders for this passing attack. And then I think when you look at that collapse they had, I think they really had a leadership void, and a big priority of their offseason was adding veteran guys who've played in Super Bowls, have played in conference championship games, and that's where guys like Eric Armstead come in, guys like Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage. I think they really have shored up the leadership around Trevor Lawrence and Josh Hines-Allen. And then I think this defense is going to be a lot better as well, just with Ryan Nielsen coming in. Kind of an aggressive, really aggressive scheme. He did wonders for Atlanta's defense last year as their DC, and he's a D-line specialist. Like, he helped develop Cam Jordan, Trey Hendrickson, and now he has Eric Armstead, Josh Hines-Allen, Trayvon Walker. I think this is going to be a really competitive team. I don't quite know where they stack up in the AFC South right now. Obviously, the Texans, to me, are still kind of number one, but I do think this is a better team than the one a year ago, and especially one that's not going to be as vulnerable in the second half of the year coming up in 2024.
So, of course, with Indy, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I think the Jags, I mean, on paper, they look like the second best team. And then I think the Titans and Colts, and you and I were talking about this the other day, Ben, after practice, you know, are very much wild card teams. And of course, that comes down to QB.
Yeah.
So far, it sounds like there's, you know, some good signs from Anthony Richardson in camp. But if you had to, I mean, if you just had to compare the Titans and Colts, first of all, do you consider both of them legitimate playoff contenders? And which one do you like better right now?
Yeah, first of all, I do think both of them are playoff contenders. I mean, the Colts were basically a fourth down conversion away last year from making the playoffs. And that was with Gardner Minshew, and their upside, of course, is just so much higher with Anthony Richardson, and everything I've heard from people around Anthony and then just what the Colts are saying publicly. They're really bullish on you know, what he could do in year two. And then people have to remember, like, he and Jonathan Taylor only played two snaps together last year. So, like, defenses haven't really seen that the extent of kind of what this offense is capable of. And then from the Titans' perspective, I mean, this is just a so much better roster from a personnel standpoint. That's why I think they're a playoff team, obviously dependent on kind of how Will Levis, the jump he makes, but the quality of receivers they now have. We talked about the O-line improving. This secondary, particularly at corner, I mean, they have one of the better cornerback trios in the entire league. That they do maybe have some concerns in the middle of the defense, and like, are they going to have a consistent like edge presence outside of like a Harold? So you have to kind of keep that into consideration. But again, I think if Will Levis makes that jump, I mean, this is a playoff competitor, just as the Colts are. And I think I may have told you this the other day, Joe, but I truly think this is going to be one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL this season, because we obviously know what Houston is capable of. Jacksonville, as I said, they have a lot of talent around Trevor Lawrence this year, and then the Colts and Titans being sort of wild cards, they're not going to be teams you could push over. So it's gonna be a really, really fascinating division to watch, in my mind.
Well, Ben, it's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to having you on throughout the season to help us break it all down. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me.
Yep, Ben Arthur from Fox Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. We'll take your thoughts on what Ben had to say, get into the AFC South coming up next. How do the Titans fit into the AFC South picture? And could all four teams in the AFC South be playoff contenders this year? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nashville's Best Deals deal of the week is admission to the Frist Art Museum. Enjoy ever-changing exhibitions from world-renowned collections. Get creative in Martin Art Quest, the Frist hands-on art-making space, and find unique handcrafted items in their gift shop. Current exhibitions include fashion, photography, graphic arts, ceramics, VR, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get two tickets to the Frist Art Museum for the price of one while supplies last. That's a $15 savings. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro. Appreciate Ben Arthur from Fox Sports for being with us in the last segment. Joe, the AFC South, very intriguing heading into this year. Obviously, the Titans, intriguing enough with the changes that they've made in the offseason. Do you believe that all four AFC South teams can compete for a playoff spot this year? There's some pretty loaded, I mean, the AFC North, a very loaded division in the AFC. The AFC East has the Bills, it's got the Dolphins, it's got the Jets with Aaron Rodgers back at quarterback. There's a lot of teams in the AFC that have the potential to be pretty good and only seven spots. So how do you view the AFC South and how all four of these teams could factor into the playoff picture?
Well, sure. I consider, obviously, the Texans, and I think pretty obviously the Jags. I think that they're the on paper, the second best team. But I absolutely, like Ben just said, I mean, the Colts were on the doorstep with Gardner Minshew. And I think Gardner Minshew's performance last year may have been a bit overrated. He certainly made some plays, did some good things, but you know what they think they have, and Anthony Richardson should be an improvement on that. And so, and a great point too, two snaps with Richardson and Jonathan Taylor together. Now that all the stuff with the contract is behind Taylor, how many years does he have being a top back still in this league? I bet you he's got a couple. So I definitely consider them a contender, and I consider the Titans one too. I mean, look, the AFC is loaded. Of course, this is, again, just saying all of them are possible. Do I expect, like, all of them to make it or no, all of them to really be there right to the end? Well, heck no. But I can't discount them. I mean, who do you discount in the AFC? I mean, I would probably look at, you know, the Patriots, the Raiders.
Broncos.
And I guess the Broncos, right? I mean, those three I don't expect to have a sniff of the playoffs. And by the way, one of the teams a year ago that people said, I don't expect them to have a sniff of the playoffs, was the Houston Texans, and yep, we saw what happened. So, you know what? Maybe you got a rookie QB, you know, in New England. You got a rookie QB in Denver. A C.J. Stroud situation could happen. New England's defense could be decent, but I would not discount anyone in the AFC, in the AFC South, which is a huge improvement for this division. This division has been pretty trashy for a while, you know, and it's pretty good now. It's pretty interesting that, without question, just the fact that you have four hopeful franchise quarterbacks going at once is pretty cool.
Do you buy what Ben threw out there that this could be the best team that's been around Trevor Lawrence down there in Jacksonville?
I think he made a good case for that. I think he made a good case for that. You know, obviously there's a reason he came in as a number one pick, and we know the kind of the lost rookie year and all the circus around Urban and everything. So, you know, obviously it, on paper, that's a Ridley is a loss. I mean, a big question I have is, how is Thomas as a rookie? Is he ready to come in and really make a difference? Because I think that tells a lot of that story. But I think it's certainly a playoff capable roster, especially if Trevor Lawrence elevates his performance. For whatever reason, it really went bad last year at the end, in the second half of the season.
Well, and then what is Gabe Davis? Like, Gabe Davis in Buffalo was good, right? I mean, you know, 2022 especially, he caught 48 balls for 836 yards, a 17-4 catch. Like, you know, obviously he is a deep threat. So it is interesting, like, with Thomas and with Gabe Davis, you know, you think of Calvin Ridley, you think of deep threats, but they've got some deep threats on their offense. So, you know, they've still got ETN down there. They still got a lot of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I'm interested to see how it all comes together. You know, could this be a situation where Jacksonville is actually better than they were a year ago, even though the expectation is for them to be probably a little bit worse than they were heading into last year? Certainly, I mean, look, they were the talk of the division last year. They were, you know, some people picking them to be, you know, a Super Bowl dark horse, and you know, the offseason winners and all that stuff. So they're not getting anywhere near as much hype heading into this year, but could they actually be better for it heading into the season now that Trevor Lawrence has got the big money? You know, the Colts, I think the Colts, and you could throw the Titans in here too, I guess, are the most intriguing division, or most intriguing team in the division, just because I have no idea what they are. Like, if Anthony Richardson is great, then the Colts, you know, they may challenge Houston for the division. I mean, that's what they did last year with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. If he's bad, they could be awful. Like, they could be one of the worst teams in the league. So, you know, I hear Ben talking about the, you know, the conversation out of Indy right now is really high, really good on Anthony Richardson. Stop me if you've heard a lot of hype about an Indianapolis Colts quarterback before in the offseason. So I don't know how much stock I put into that, but there's no doubt that Anthony Richardson has a ton of talent and a ton of ability. We all know that. Can he put it together, and can he, you know, can he put it together and stay healthy? That's kind of the main thing there. But, you know, Richardson and Levis in very similar spots to me heading into this. And Levis has more tape that we've seen. Richardson played in four games last year. But I think the Colts, not just in the division, but maybe, I mean, you could make a case outside of, you know, the top teams that everybody expects to be good. You could make a case that the Colts are the biggest wild card in the entire AFC heading into this year.
Yeah. Chip from Mount Juliet says, Richardson projections are just that, projections. He has done nothing in college or pros, but flash once in a while. Well, but what I would say back to you, Chip, is, you know, he had the one season in college football, and it was very up and down. I sat in the press box and watched him play like a number one overall pick in a game that really, it turned out to be a last throw toward the end zone. It shouldn't have been. An onside kick was part of that. But some of the throws he made in that game, and this, the overall performance, I mean, they had no chance against Tennessee's offense in that game. That was that 2022 Tennessee offense. But he was tremendous. He just hasn't had that much chance to do anything. I mean, flash once in a while. He had one season as a starter, and then, like you just said, Robbie, four games last year. Sure, it is projections, and I think he's as intriguing and fascinating a player, just like you said with the Colts, Robbie, just Richardson himself. Yep. I mean, I'm keeping all possibilities there. But there will be, I don't think there's any doubt, there's going to be some games where I think he takes over and does some special things. Will he do that consistently enough for them to really be a factor? I don't know. I don't know where he's going to end up, but to suggest he's just like some total unknown who just flashes once in a while, I think that's selling him a little bit short.
Well, I also thought, given the circumstances last year with him going down, I thought Shane Steichen did a really good job. Like, that to me is also, like, if you're a Titans fan, kind of concerning is, you know, D'Amico Ryans down there in Houston obviously did a fantastic job last year. And Steichen, you know, getting to within one play basically of the playoffs with Gardner Minshew as your starting quarterback. Like, there's some young coaches in your division right now, and you're hoping Brian Callahan's one of them, but some young coaches that in their first year in Indianapolis and Houston, I think did some really good things that would concern me if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, Steichen's good, no doubt. You know, Steichen's good. Chris Ballard, carries on as GM, and I, you know, people are no longer talking about him as like the great constructor of. I mean, the guy has what, one playoff win in his entire tenure as GM? I think that's right. But he's still there, and so it's an interesting situation. I think he has been overrated a little bit, but I think Steichen's good, and Steichen Richardson could be a really good combination.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9TheFan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We might have to add Paul Feinbaum to that little mashup there of Rex Rod, Rox Road. Just throw Feinbaum in there.
Yeah, let's do it. How about Rox Rod?
That's one we've not seen yet, but I think it's probably coming at some point. It's pretty good.
If you combine Stapp and Feinbaum. You can see Feinbaum playing a little cowbell on a Creed concert up
too.
There, you know?
I wonder if Creed, the band, and or Scott Stapp has ever been on the Feinbaum show.
That's a good question. Have you ever seen a picture of Feinbaum when he was a student at Tennessee?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's got, like, the long hair. I'm sure he was, like, totally jamming out to, like, Zeppelin back then, you know? A little bit of Pink Floyd.
That's something I'd love to see.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to find it, dude. I'm sure it's on the interweb somewhere.
Joe, you have a thought on the Indianapolis Colts before we get to the text line?
Yeah, you know, and, of course, this is a Stilly-generated thought because Stilly loves to text in about everybody who's an idiot and a bozo. Is a lot of people are dumb per Stilly, but he does have a fair point, you know, about Steichen running Richardson too much. And someone told Stillman last year that, you know, he's going to get him killed if he did. Here's an interesting point on that. He was asked about that recently, and he said, he made the comparison. He said, well, it's like, are you going to ask Steph Curry to stop shooting threes?
Yeah.
And I was like, if it got him hurt every time he shot it, I might.
I don't know if that's a great comparison.
Yeah, like, you know, I understand what he's saying, which is, look, Richardson as a running QB with that element in your offense is a huge threat, and it adds another dimension, and it puts defense in more conflict and all that stuff. But, yeah, like, you got to be real careful there. There is a balance, and he talked about that too. But, yeah, that comparison, I was like, I don't know, man. Like, if Curry gets popped every time he shoots the three, then you might, you know, do something different. Or I guess you might say, okay, just start pulling up from half court stuff, you know?
Yeah, if Steph Curry gets a 300-pound lineman falling on him every time he shoots a three, I'd probably tell him to stop.
Yeah, so, but I thought that quote was definitely a little bit of a, oh, he's still going to be running, folks. And so then it's like, well, he better be awfully good and practiced at protecting himself with slides going into this.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of it's on him too, right? Like, you know, Lamar Jackson early in his career, especially, but even now, like, he runs a lot, whether it's designed or not. And there's a way that you go about trying to protect yourself as best as you can. Now, apparently Lamar Jackson's goal this year is to lose all the weight that he's had and become, I guess, impossible to catch. But, you know, Richardson's a great athlete. He's, you know, according to the NFL combine testing, he's like the greatest athlete in the history of quarterbacks. So there's that he's got going for him. So I totally understand wanting to lean into that and use that to your strength and your advantage if you're Steichen. But I think there's a balance there of trying to get him hit as little as possible as well.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, because if he goes out again, like, this year, and I do think Steichen's good. I think Steichen's a really smart coach, and I think that he's one of those offensive guys who knows what he's doing. He seems like he's got a good feel for being a head coach too. But if Richardson has a shortened year again because of a design QB run where he gets thrown to the ground,
yeah,
like all the other stuff doesn't matter about Steichen. It's like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it last year, even when he went down in that Titans game, it's like, man, that's just not a play you want to, you just don't want to put him in that situation where a linebacker gets a free shot at him like that and just throw him to the ground.
Dylan on the text line says, I feel like no one else has really talked about this, but Harold Landry going to be an extremely impactful player. Before his injury, he played around 98% of the snaps. Teams had to either double him or Simmons. He started getting better towards the end of last year, and once he became confident in his leg again, I think this year will be a breakout year for him once again. We've talked about Landry and the healthy offseason. There's a lot on him heading into this year that, you know, obviously he's getting paid a ton of money, but not only just the money, the contract, but the rest of the defense and specifically edge rusher around him. Like, they need whatever the best version of Harold Landry is, they need that this year from him. Number one, obviously, has to stay healthy. But number two, like, they need double-digit sacks. They need constant availability. They need setting the edge. All the things that Harold Landry brings to the table, they're going to need max level of that this year on defense.
Yeah. I still feel bad for him that they, you know, didn't get someone else to help him on the edge. But I do think that he will definitely like, one, this defense, but also if Tavondre Sweat is going to be that guy, then I think he's going to definitely benefit from you know, Sweat and Simmons inside. And he's just an excellent football player, no doubt. What he did last year, I thought was pretty remarkable. And like you said, Dylan, now you totally moved past the leg. You had an offseason where you didn't worry about that. You just worried about getting better.
And by the way, he is back on the field today. They're stretching and doing all their dynamic warm-up stuff right now. They're in pads, and Harold Landry, who has missed the first week due to illness, is back out there today. TD putting that out there.
There you go. And that's a great thing for the Titans. And may not be a great thing for that O-line today. Well, you know, we'll see. First day of pads. Landry's back. Your intended starting right tackle is not back. Those guys moving around and whatnot. But, like, Landry, I'm definitely – I hope we get to see some Landry-Latham confrontations, individual, team, whatever it is. I definitely would like to see some of that. I think, you know, that's Landry for the most part comes on the other side, but they move him around some. So I'm trying to think. Do I have that mixed up?
No, I think he does. No. Go, he's on the other side most of the time.
Yeah. So, but I'd like to see some good looks for Latham from Landry. That's one of those where it's like, okay, you really get a feel for somebody. If they can block Harold Landry.
Well, and the other thing is, like, obviously the pads are coming on today, so it's going to be more contact. We've seen that get heated at times at training camp. The other thing, like, to this point in camp, Joe, for the last week, like, it really hasn't been that hot, especially when it comes to, like, what mid to late July in Tennessee can be. Now, they're practicing in the morning, so they're avoiding some of this, but today is going to get pretty hot. So sometimes tempers boil over a little bit out there on the field. Interesting to see how that goes the next 2 days.
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean, it's guaranteed. First of all, I mean, Jeff kind of makes that locks that in anyway, right? And we already saw last week with the Auburn, Alabama, Latham, Marlon Davidson situation. So the next 2 days, first 2 days of pads, yeah, you're hitting. You're going to be into the 90s before practices. Or, well, I guess they are earlier. So maybe you're not quite hitting 90, but you're
getting
still
there,
pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting there. I mean, it's good to have those practices earlier, but yes, I would say we're going to see some flare-ups probably.
It's 82 according to my weather app right now in Nashville. It feels like already at 90. So it's going to get a little hot on the field out there today. Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see. It's not just, you always, we always think about when the pads go on, you know, the offensive line and D-line, finally you get a better look. But also, I mean, the pads, the receiver cornerback battles,
yep,
that matters there too, you know. And so I'll be interested to see what the plan is with Snead. My guess is maybe he'd be one of these 2 days, but maybe not. Maybe it's a no pads, maybe pads, he's less he's less active out there. That'll be interesting to see too. But you're going to have some really good matchups. Of course, Owuzie's still out this week, so that does take one of the key guys out of there.
Well, we talked about Petit Frere earlier. So Bill Callahan saying yesterday that Petit Frere, the rehab, kind of been pushed back, and the goal now is Friday. So, you know, I brought this up earlier. I would love to know if this is this just the Titans being cautious with Petit Frere? You know, Brian Callahan said to begin camp that it's going to be a couple days. You know, I don't know if he literally meant two, but I wouldn't imagine he meant more than three or four. And now we're a week into this thing, and he's not going to be back until, I guess, the earliest on Friday. So is this just them being really careful with Petit Frere? Is this a setback that is taking place with him? You know, obviously, if it's a setback, then that's not good. And we're once again talking about Petit Frere and health issues heading into this week here at practice.
Yeah, it's at least a setback in their expectation was different, and Bill Callahan confirmed that yesterday. So, I mean, I guess it could just be going a little slower than you hoped, and I don't know that that's necessarily technically a setback, but it's certainly not ideal. I'm sure Bill Callahan, and I think it's pretty clear from yesterday, you know, really wanted to see him out there. These two practices with pads, that would have been a good place for him to start, to get out there with the pads and start that battle with John Ojukwu, which I think right now it's, you know, I don't think there's anybody else who's really going to challenge for that. It would be somebody kind of coming up from the back and really making a charge. So now instead it's going to be Ojukwu, who, you know, is still getting that work and great reps for him. But, you know, the Titans really need NPF to start playing football for them.
Take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, including a battle in our YouTube chat that I want to address as well, coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Practice has begun for the Tennessee Titans. Chase and Big Joe will be out live at Titans training camp. By the way, we will be there tomorrow on the show. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Paul Kuharski going to join us tomorrow live from camp from 7 to 8. Had a nice conversation to get that to work last night, Joe. Good stuff.
Hey, by the way, so I just figured this out. So I just put up the YouTube chat and saw the back and forth, which I know you're about to talk about. But like when I'm remote, I can't watch the YouTube chat, can I?
Why can't you?
Well, because it's delayed, and so now if I have the sound on, now I hear them both competing with each other, but the YouTube chat is like a few seconds back.
That's true. You can mute it, but yes.
Yeah, but how do I mute? I guess I could mute. Can I mute just the YouTube chat?
You can.
Is that a thing that someone can do with a computer? Okay, great.
I'll show you
Thanks
tomorrow.
For the lesson.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Kyle in Shelbyville.
I'm not a smart man.
Zach Lyons going back and forth with each other on the YouTube chat about could you trade Treylon Burks if he has a good camp, good preseason, for a starting level right tackle, or at least a serviceable right tackle? My immediate reaction to that is no, you cannot, Joe Rexroad, because people do not give away starting right tackles in this league more often than not. If Treylon Burks has a good camp / preseason, that is good for the Titans, and hopefully you can find a way to use him. But I am still of the mind that if you're trading Treylon Burks, what you're probably getting back is like a sixth, maybe. Like there's not much value there right now.
Yeah, I did go through. I joked that I ain't reading all that, but I did go through the back and forth. It was a good conversation. And I get the idea, like a receiver needy team, you know, Burks could be intriguing, but you're not getting a lot. I think the biggest issue with the whole thing is, how many starting caliber right tackles are there in the NFL? There aren't 32. You know, and that's the problem. There is a shortage of quality offensive linemen in this league. And so the Titans have some bodies. They have some people. That's all you're getting. You're not getting someone who's good enough to just plug in and start in this league. They're very hard to find. Teams really, really need a good third tackle, a really good swing tackle. I don't know who that is for the Titans.
You'd be getting what you already have, which is a bunch of guys that can play the position, but you're not exactly sure how well and to what level they can play the position. That's what you'd be getting.
Exactly. So, you know, the Bill Callahan factor gets discussed ad nauseum, but with good reason. And I think it's going to be tough sledding for the Titans if Nicholas Petitfrere is not ready to emerge as a quality offensive tackle this year. But also, Bill Callahan has done some pretty wild stuff with dudes who he plugs in and gets decent football out of them. So I do think that you have to just consider that as a possibility that he is going to find a way. And of course, again, he needs the left side to be really strong and really step forward. And if he does, then that right tackle issue is at least somewhat minimized.
So how, you know, we've talked about training camp and practices. Like it's very difficult to take a ton away from that in terms of, you know, how meaningful is it, how meaningful is it not. I will say, like, there, I think you do put more stock into the padded practices and particularly up front what that could mean. So how big is today and tomorrow, Joe, for specifically the offensive line in terms of their confidence going up against this defensive front and, quite frankly, like the confidence of the team to see them hold up and to hold their own up front with the pads on, and particularly on that right side?
Yeah, I think it's really big. You know, because another thing that happens here is if it looks like it has looked, but it would be more the right side than the left side. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll see with Latham. But if it's getting to the point where this defense is just caving in the offensive line, you know, last year we went through the whole, wow, is it that this defense is going to be really special? You know, that's a hard one to buy when you really have had, I'd say, start to finish, taking all things into consideration, you've had the worst offensive line in the NFL for a 2-year stretch. You know, the 2-year sample of your offensive line compared to anybody else's 2-year sample, you're the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And so what happens then is then that just becomes, I mean, it's just all people are going to talk about if it's really bad here the next couple of days. So I think this is important for some confidence for those guys. And again, they're not going to have Petitfrere, but some confidence for John Ojukwu, and just to see if they can kind of strike back. You see this a lot in camp. You know, the defense won this day, the offense won this day. Defense definitely won the Saturday practice. So the offense needs to have a good day one of these 2 days overall.
I would agree. I think also, you know, let's say things work out well for J.C. Latham. Let's say Latham has a good week, and you're feeling pretty good about left tackle, left guard, and center. Like, I think the expectation is and should be heightened for Skoronski heading into year two with the conditions around him to his left and to his right. Like, we feel pretty good about Cushenberry at center. So, you know, if Latham continues to play the way that, by all accounts, he's played, I think you feel good about Latham. So if your left side is in a good spot coming into the regular season, but you're not quite sure what you're going to get on the right, how problematic is that? Can you overcome that if you're the Titans offense? We would all agree you're in a better situation than you have been the last couple of years, but can you get to a place where you're competitive and you're still in a playoff, either a spot or competing for a spot late in the season, if the right side of the offensive line just doesn't have the ability to hold up?
Yeah, then my question is, how good is the left side and how bad is the right side? I mean, definitely, if you only have one side that you have to consistently help, well, that helps a lot, you know. But how bad is it? And can you get away with some snaps, you know, with your right tackle out there on an island at all? I mean, yeah, I think you have to some extent. So it's a little bit of a sliding scale, but I also think, like, J.C. Latham's a rookie, and you can't expect the world from a rookie. Texter says, so has the offensive line position gotten worse, or the defense gotten better, making them look average? Again, I think Tavondre Sweat is a problem, and I think that he definitely is a challenge. But they haven't even seen Landry yet, you know? They have not seen Harold Landry yet. They're going to see him today. So we know who Arden Key is, along with Paul Kaharski's best friend. He is, he's a guy who can make some plays, but he's not LT. Okay, and so I think you definitely have cause for some concern.
Are we going to get a post-practice update from Arden Key with Kuharsky today? Is this going to be like a – is he now a correspondent for PaulKuharsky.com?
Oh, my God. I love that idea. Yeah, they should do like post-practice videos together. I would totally – I would subscribe for that.
This is PaulKuharsky.com. It is a great website. He is a good friend of mine. I read it every day.
I'm in, man. Keep going to the Arden well. Joel says, Stilley will talk about it for 4 hours a day if the OL keeps looking bad in camp. Well, I'll defend Stilley. Hey, man, it's been 2 years of terrible, terrible offensive line play that has ruined everything, right? I mean, it's cost people their jobs. So, you know, they addressed it. But ultimately, if they have a zero at right tackle, that is going to be a problem. So, I mean, I think the next couple of days are going to be revealing. I think you still have to wait for Petit Frere to get out there. You don't. There's going to be some overreaction, and that's probably your best source of overreaction. But still, I mean, this is important right now, and they can't be a bad offensive line and expect to take a huge step forward or expect to give Will Levis what he needs to do to establish himself as a franchise quarterback.
Well, and, you know, quite frankly, Titans fans are tired of it. And, you know, like, It's been a bad, bad run. That offensive line. Like, they have been the worst offensive line. I said it earlier. I believe it. Like, you'd be hard-pressed, I think, going back through all of NFL history to find a back-to-back stretch of worse left tackles than Dennis Daly and Andre Dillard. Like, I'm sure there's probably some that you can find. There can't be many. Like, if there, you know, a quarterback would have probably literally died on the field if there was the ones that were that much worse than those two. So you're hoping that the left part of it has been fixed adequately this year. But yeah, like, if you're a Titans fan, the last thing I want to hear heading into this regular season or in training camp is more issues on the offensive line. Like, it's been a constant storyline for 2 years at this point.
That is a bold statement on your part, though. So, you know, anybody out there, especially if you're like fans of a particular team, you know, like, I'm trying to think of like the Lions before they got Lomas Brown.
It would be very difficult to be that much worse.
It would be. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, it's a special combination there. But, you know, I'm trying to think of like maybe some Browns fans from like the 70s might have an example. So we're open to your submissions on a worst 2 year run of two different left tackles in this league.
I saw a quote from Packers offensive line coach or offensive coordinator yesterday. It said, Dillard a little bit better on the left side than he is on the right. It's like, oh, God, no. Just keep him off the field. No.
The left side of what? Yeah. Like, the left side of the film room and then leave him in there? Don't tell him when practice starts? Yeah, Andre, just keep breaking down film. We'll let you know when practice happens, buddy, okay?
That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.